The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Just like confession, as a priest and when I prepare for the homily, sometimes I read the Gospel or the readings all together and I kind of think, man, I really got to make something out of this. The church hasn't given me a whole lot to preach on. Honestly, it felt like that a little bit last week, where there was just kind of this simple healing miracle that Jesus said, "Ephatha, be opened," and the man was healed, and that was the end. I kind of read that story, and I was like, how am I supposed to preach about this, Lord? What do you want me to do with this? You feel like you have to kind of drum it up and make it more than it is. And then other times, you have kind of this big, huge section, like we have in today's gospel, where not only does Peter profess that Jesus is the Christ, professing that personal faith that is the rock of the early church, but then Jesus tells them how he's going to take up his cross and be rejected by the chief priests and the elders, be killed, and then after 3 days be risen. And then Peter rejects him, and then he tells everyone that they have to do the same. That we have so much in today's gospel that can be a question of what part are you supposed to preach about? Is it about the faith of Peter recognizing Jesus as the Christ and the Messiah? Is that connection of Jesus having to go and be rejected and be killed and ultimately rise for our salvation? Or is it about how we, like his disciples, need to do the same, that we deny ourselves, take up our own crosses, and follow him? All of those things are good and legitimate things to preach about. But for some reason, in this gospel, I was struck by something much simpler, much more human. That Peter, right after he professes this faith, right after he's kind of set apart as a special one in the 12th, right after that, he's rebuked by Jesus. That he gets the first answer right, but he very clearly gets the second answer wrong. He gets the first answer right, that Jesus is the Christ. But then when Jesus tells them plainly what's going to happen to him, Peter cannot accept that. He wants to stand up, and he wrongly tries to defend Jesus and saying he won't allow that to happen. There's a lot of different theological and spiritual lessons I think we can take from that. But again, when I reflected on it for this Sunday, I just thought, on a very human level, it was probably pretty humiliating for Peter. And in front of the 12, in front of the other people that had heard all the same things that Jesus had said, all the things that Jesus had did, and they clearly looked to Peter as a leader. In front of all of them, he's told by Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as humans do." Now, that might have been a very difficult moment for Peter, but I think he also learned a very important lesson. Simply that he wasn't always going to get the question right. That he wasn't always going to have the right and perfect answer for a particular moment or for the church and the people around him. That his role wasn't about being right all the time. But instead, it was about leading the church, preserving that unity, and keeping it close to Jesus. Because whenever we're kind of rebuked or we notice that we get something wrong, it's much easier for us to be patient and loving with others when they get something wrong. Right? I can imagine if Peter, right, gets this answer right, and then for the next week or so, Jesus just keeps patting him on the back. Right? It's just like, man, Peter, you always have the right thing to say. You're just so smart. You're going to do great. I think most of us could understand if that would go to Peter's head just a little bit. And that as soon as one of the other apostles, maybe Thomas or James or Philip, came and said something that didn't make any sense, it'd be so easy for Peter just to reject them, go, ah, Thomas, why don't you ever get it? I always get it. You can never quite figure it out. But Jesus knows that Peter needs to not have that big of a head to lead the church. He needs to know that he's not always right. Because if he's not always right, then, and it's okay with Jesus, then it has to be okay for Peter when other people don't always get it perfectly right. Maybe they're confused or a little slower to understand what Jesus means. And they maybe rebuke Peter or they reject him when he goes out and preaches. That instead of in a spirit of pride, he's kind of puffed up and wants to act out against them, he can lovingly be patient with them. Maybe lovingly correct them, maybe defend his stance or whatever it might be. But his response is totally different because he knows that it was okay that he got some things wrong. So if it's okay for me to get things wrong, maybe it's all right if somebody else doesn't get it perfectly right all the time either. And in the way Jesus sets up Peter as the first pope, as the one holding the keys to the kingdom, so he sets Peter as this rock on which to build the church. He really does it in a way so that it's a rock of love. That out of humility, Peter doesn't have to be puffed up and get everything right all the time. But because he sometimes gets things wrong, he can love the people around him that may not always get it right. Brothers and sisters, I think that's a great lesson for each of us. Especially as we approach this election in November, it can be easy to kind of put up walls and divide ourselves and who's right and who's wrong and who we're with or who we're against. I think it's important for us to be clear about what we stand for and what we don't stand for and defend our beliefs and what we think is important in the upcoming election. That's a good thing. But also to realize maybe sometimes I'm wrong, so if the other person isn't perfectly right, that's okay. I can be patient. I can endure that with them as Peter did with the apostles. I think in our families, when we realize that I'm not always perfectly right and do the right thing all the time, then when my spouse or a child or a parent or aunt or uncle or cousin, when they don't do the right thing, it's a lot easier for me to be patient and loving with them because I can actually see myself in them. Rather than being different from them, I can be compassionate and see myself in them. I think that's what Jesus wants us to be as his disciples. To notice that we can get things wrong sometimes so that we can love others when they get some things wrong also. Because in a small way, that is denying ourselves and taking up our cross to follow Jesus. Because as he heads from this moment really towards his cross, going to Jerusalem knowing what's going to happen there, he also knows that really thousands of people are going to reject him. That he's going to the cross for people that don't want him to die for them. That are literally going to turn the other way or spit on him or not want what he has to give. And even though they're wrong, even though they don't want what he has to give, he goes and he does it anyway. He loves them even though they're wrong, if you want to think about it that way. Because it's not about Jesus being right or the other person being right, but it's about bringing that presence of God's love into the world. That's what he wants from us in each of our families and each of the moments of our lives. So let us pray, brothers and sisters, that like Peter, we can realize that it's okay if we don't get it right all the time. And in fact, sometimes that's maybe good for us and our egos and our pride to be humbled just a little bit. Not because God wants us to do the wrong thing or make mistakes, but because it helps us to love others when they make mistakes. It helps us to be patient and forgiving, especially with those closest to us. That like Peter and the saints, and really like Christ our Savior, we can be led by one law, simply the law of love. And we can ask ourselves, Lord, help me to love others as you love me, loving those around me, even when they're not perfect. And as you loved Peter in this moment of ignorance, we can also love those around us when they are wrong or injure the people that we love.